Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Welcome to episode 154 with Joy Williams. We were talking beforehand. I was like, okay, just hit record because, I don't know, you asked a good question. We were talking, you and I were talking about, you said you toured.
Yeah.
But you're touring whenever, right when you have kids.
Yeah, right when I had Poppy. I did. I did that in the Civil Wars somehow. Like, found out I was pregnant and like on a 50-city tour, like 2 days in. And I was like, cool, that sounds fun. So I went on the road and played gigs till I was literally 9 months pregnant and played Bonnaroo and then had my son like a week later.
You played Bonnaroo at 9 months pregnant?
Yeah, I sure did.
What is it like? And this was a question that I had for Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
Was that she was singing her brains out 8 to 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, doesn't that make you have to pee? Like,
it makes you have to do a whole lot of things, Bobby, but, and peeing is one of them, but, and like hyperventilating is also one of them. Cause you, as the baby grows, it just rests on your, like all your organs and it's, and they move up. And so your ribs actually expand. So it's a weird thing to be, singing that pregnant, but I was like, we had just said a minute ago, somehow I tend to make people and music all at the same time. So it seems to work out that way.
You like having babies?
I like the people. I don't enjoy the pregnancies. I don't have easy ones.
You don't?
No, I have like the 24-hour a day sickness, like throw up if I stand up kind of vibes. And I was doing that on the road with Miles, who's now 6 and a half. And then I was just like laid out with Poppy. She's now 5 months pregnant. It was like, it was brutal. But again, I was like, well, surely I'll get over this at some point in time. All this nausea, we ended up going in the studio and I was 3 and a half, 4 months pregnant. And I thought, you know what, all this nausea is going to make me really, really honest. So how I sang, I just sat on a stool and sang. Cause I was like, I literally can't try. There's no need to, I just need to show up and try and tell the truth with all this music. And you know, and I was like, screw trying to be perfect because it doesn't really exist anyways. So I just sat there and sang and we just pressed record and it was like full performances and
really,
it just felt right that way. I think I used to be like, oh, it has to be just so, but it doesn't work that way for me anymore. Life's handed me my ass too many times. You know what I mean?
I'm such a big fan and until today we hadn't met. We had talked on Instagram a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the first time that I think I was tagging your music. Cause I'm a big fan of your music.
Thank you.
Civil Wars and in the new stuff too, especially.
Yeah.
And that was while Dancing with the Stars was happening.
Yes.
And
you were in your trailer, just like waiting to
yes,
get.
That's right. That's when the music started to re-come out again. That's what I associate because I would listen to it. I was getting no sleep on that show.
I bet you weren't.
And I would play The Trouble with Wanting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And I would play that over and over on a loop, just trying to get any sleep in my trailer. Because it would calm me down.
Oh, good. So my music puts you to sleep? Bobby?
I only listen to slow music.
Do you really?
That's it. Like, all my music. I think my most played song right now
for like the last few years is Everybody Hurts from R.E.M.
I literally was just talking about that song today.
Like, that's my tempo.
Yeah, that's my speed too. I remember where were you the first time you heard it?
I remember seeing the video the first time, him walking across the top of the cars. And so I had to be, Mike, if you look up what year that was, I'm 38, so I was probably 13 or so.
Yeah, we're not too far away from each other age-wise.
And I remember going, and I remember losing my religion, and I was an R.E.M. fan.
Yep.
But I was like, this is the craziest video I've ever seen. Mm. So I remember watching it on television. I don't remember where I was, but I do remember it.
Yeah,
seeing
I remember sitting in one of my best friends, her older sister was like a R.E.M. fan, just like freak fan, and just playing it over and over in her room. And I just remember laying on this like really terrible beige carpet, and hearing that song and just being like, oh my God, I feel like he wrote that song for me.
I still feel like that song's written for me.
I know. Yeah. That's when music is so good, is when it's like, it's that connective thing. It doesn't even matter how old the song is. I mean, there's so many great songs like that in the history of music, but I love that you mentioned that today.
When was it for you that you heard a song or an artist and you went, oh, they're actually speaking for me? Because John Mayer was the first one to do it for me.
I was going to ask you that. That's what John Mayer would be for you?
Yeah. When I heard, there's three or four songs from Continuum. What's the song I have downstairs? Now my mind is slipping. I have written downstairs.
Stop This Train.
Yeah, Stop This Train. Thank you.
Aren't you glad you have him?
I know, I am.
What would you do without him?
I have because John Mayer's about our age.
Yeah.
And the lyric is, I'm so scared of getting older, I'm only good at being young. And the first time I heard that, I was like, oh my God, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like everything that I was doing, I was ahead of the curve doing it, but I thought, when I'm normal age, I'm not going to be good at this anymore. I'm only good at it because I'm young.
Do you think that's why you're such a, like, it seems like everything you do, you go so full on. It's amazing to me, like, how much you're able to accomplish and, like, what you are able to do. And, have you always been wired that way?
That's kind of you to say, Joy, but I don't.
I'm not kissing your ass. I'm just saying, I don't even know how you sleep. Like, do you actually sleep?
I don't a lot, but I think it comes from having to survive as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have a mom. I didn't have a dad. My mom was a drug addict. And so I was
really young, right?
Yeah. And really young. And she died in her 40s.
Wow.
But I had to, work to eat at 13.
Yeah. So your hustle, that hustle's like in your veins.
Hustle's just normal.
Yeah.
And people be like, how do you do it? And I'm like, well, it's
how do I not do it is maybe more your question.
And we were talking before you came in. You were like, man, when are you going to slow down? And I'm like, I don't know how.
Yeah.
And I have to because I don't have a girlfriend. I'm not married. I get quite lonely. That's why I listen to your music.
That's why you listen to that's why you listen to some songs that keep you company. Mm-hmm.
And so, but I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
But okay, what about you? You can't dodge the question. When was the first?
Oh,
the first song or artist that you heard and you went, oh, not only do I like the music, but that actually is my voice.
Mm. God, I mean. I grew up in a really, really conservative household. So what I was able to listen to was really, really regulated, which is why when I got my driver's license, I was like, hell yes. but I would say that I remember, this might sound odd, but I remember hearing Billie Holiday sing for the first time and being like, oh my God, this amazing soul is coming out of my speakers. Like, where did this person come from? Like, what is her story? How do I I mean, I would spend hours trying to emulate how she sang, which it's almost impossible to do. And the lilt and the squeak and the cracks and the breaks of how she sang everything. It just arrested me. And I know that that's not a super cool, I think she's cool.
I think Billie Holiday's cool.
I think she's amazing, but it wasn't an age appropriate, you know what I mean?
When you're 16 or 17, it's not cool
it's
to
not
be playing
really
Billie Holiday,
cool to be.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and I was sucked into the vortex of boy bands just like any other high school kid was too. But when I was home by myself, I would put on Billie Holiday. I just felt the ache of what she was singing, no matter if it was happy or sad, it was just it always had this tinge of sadness. And I just felt, I don't know, somehow that melancholy and telling the truth and it being all kinds of dysfunctional. And I mean, the songs she sang, they weren't always walks in the park. She talked about really, really terrible relationships and I don't know. I just loved how ballsy she was. And then being so rebellious to sing something like Strange Fruit was pretty life altering when I realized what that song was about. So, I don't know. I love ferocity. I love quiet rebellion. And I think that that's probably where that first like hit me the first time with Billie Holiday.
Where does your emo come from?
Where's my emo?
Yeah.
I've kind of always been that way, but I think, black sheep of the family. I would say B, on the sort of like, astrological signs, et cetera, if you're into that kind of stuff.
Are you into that stuff?
I'm halfway into that stuff.
Can you be halfway in?
I am.
Okay.
So I guess.
Go ahead.
I think it's really fascinating. I'll just say that. And I'm a triple Scorpio. So like in multiple houses, like my sun, moon, all that stuff, I'm Scorpio. And so I guess apparently we're always like going around in the dark and like lifting up every, like what's underneath this rock and what's underneath this rock. So I've always kind of been that way. I don't know if it's the stars or if it's just, the way I was raised too. I was always the kid that was like kind of taking the emotional temperature of everybody in my family. So I don't know. How about you?
I don't know that I'm emo.
I don't think you, I mean, I'm not terribly emo. She says while she's wearing all black. I should take it back. Oh my God.
And again, I'm so drawn to your music because it does feel very emo.
Huh.
At least to me.
Yeah. Emo in what way though?
Emo, and there's always just an emotion to your voice and your lyric. It doesn't always have to be, I'm going to lock myself in my closet because I'm 12.
Nope, I haven't written that song either
yet.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be the emo side of
it. Sure.
But your music, I don't ever listen to your music and go, in your music now or your music with Civil Wars,
yeah,
and go, oh, well, that's just a fun song for the time to pass by. That's never happened to me with a single one of you guys. And you know, even Front Porch, which is,
yeah,
is that the last one that you put out? Is Front Porch the last one?
Yeah, it's not even out yet. It comes out May 3rd.
That's not true. It's out.
The song is.
The
not
song
the
is out.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
yeah,
not
yeah,
the.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Sorry.
Psych. I was like, she's lying. And I know it's out. Because like, I listen to it all the time.
You're like, honey, that is on Spotify.
Okay.
No. The record. Sorry, when you say Front Porch, I think because it's the title track to the album. Yeah, the song Front Porch is also out.
Let me
yeah.
play a little bit of this. And so when I hear this. It's never there's an emotion to everything that you do. That's why I ask. I don't ever. There's not a Chumbawamba in the mix of your songs.
I think there should just only ever be one Chumbawamba.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love the art of conversation. I love sitting across a table like this and hearing stories. And I think that's what makes music so special to me is that you get the chance to tell a story and you have to be really, really concise, you know?
Have you put the video out for that yet?
Not
it's
yet.
So good.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. I know.
I've seen it. Yeah. I think I messaged you because I don't ever watch anything early, but I'm such a big fan.
Dude, we sent it. We sent it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you like it.
Love it.
Hey.
It's so good. And I don't give a crap about videos. You know, I tell my friends, I'm like, don't waste your money on a video.
This was not a waste. I'm seriously so stoked about this music video coming out.
When does it come out? Because by the time people hear this, it may be out.
Well, it's not going to be out by the time maybe. It's going to be right around the time.
Well, people will listen to it for years. You don't have to say.
Yeah, I don't know. If I tell you, I'm going to have to kill you.
February, March?
It's going to be coming out in the spring, yeah.
Okay, got
it. Yeah.
So, listen.
Sorry, I can't tell you. That feels weird.
People listen to this thing for years and years. These podcasts are evergreen. So
no pressure, Bobby.
Do not screw this up. You know who messaged me about that? Because I don't put a lot of songs on my Instagram.
Yeah,
maybe a couple a week, and I put that up, I think last week,
mm-hmm.
In a clip. And Busby messaged me.
Oh, you know, yeah.
And he was like, "Love this song." And I guess Emily Shackleton.
Yes.
Who writes for him?
Yep.
Wrote it with you.
Yeah, and Liz Rose too. We literally sat in. At Liz's house, and it's like there's like this mauve room in her house with a big window, and it was nighttime, and we showed up and we drank red wine, and I was talking to her about, you know, I'd come back from Venice Beach after making the record Venus, which is the one before this, and it was totally like a sonic experiment for me. I just had to get out of Nashville. I had to get a way to clear my head and get out of town after the Civil Wars imploded, and plus my dad was passing away from cancer and at the time, and so I wanted to be closer on the West Coast where he was. So I was like, well, we'll move to LA and do that. But after my dad passed away, it was kind of, and I made the record, I was kind of like, I just want to go home. And it was weird. I'd never talked about Nashville as if it was home. It had always just been like, well, I grew up here in California, but something changed when my dad passed. And I just was like, I miss my people and I miss my house. And so we came back and I started writing slowly but surely, you know, and when Liz and Emily were available to write, we sat in that room and I just said, you know what I feel like in my life right now, what I've been going through is that, I'm really starting to understand that the simple things in life are sometimes the most beautiful ones. And I've spent so much of my life like looking ahead to whatever was next and then what's after that and what's after that. And I said, I really feel like what I'm learning is to like enjoy just simply where I am. And that's like a bubble in the, you know, in the suds while I'm doing the dishes that has a rainbow in it, or like, you know, like the like hurricane that my house looks like because my kids have been playing and stuff like that. And I said, so I think there's a simplification that I really feel like is happening not only for me in my life, but I want to go back to a simpler sound than I did with Venus. And I said, and I've been, you know, been talking about like, if I can't play it on the front porch, it's probably not for me. And Liz in her like salty voice was just like, well, have you written a song called Front Porch? And I was like, no. And then it just flowed out. It was so easy to write. And those are like that you, sometimes you have to like wrestle the bear, but that one, it was just, it just kind of flowed right out.
Yeah. Play a little bit more of that.
If never you find what you're looking for, come on back to the front porch.
So from this new project, you have three songs out?
Yeah. So far.
Uh-huh. I'll play one more. This is Canary.
But I will not shut my eyes.
I mean, I've played these songs so many times. I'm not even kidding. Like it's
that
like,
makes me happy.
Yeah, they're all because I keep about 15 songs on my current playlist.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll rotate them in and out. All three of these. But it's just
thank you. You
are my style of music.
Well, thanks.
Like sing it slow. Put all those. It's good.
Well, it's like I think it's fun too. It's like the feng shui, you know. It's like how do you take a few things and like and really make it sing? And you know, I like listening to music that has like a ton of elements to it, but that's just the more stuff I add to the music I'm making, I feel like the less it means something, at least to me, or my voice somehow, it just changes. So I don't know. I was just kind of like, all right, what happens if I just remove almost everything except like really, really what's necessary and what's there. So it's not just a singer-songwriter record in that it's like just a guitar and vocal. You know, we have a lot of instrumentation, but the whole process in the time in studio with Kenneth Pattingale, who produced it with me, you know, I was like, my requirement for all these players is that they be empathetic players, because like it just needs to be like smatterings. It doesn't need to be like just blazing up a track. And it was really fun in studio making the music. I've never laughed harder, and we recorded 15 songs in 5 days, and it was like the most effortless experience. And it was just so much fun. I'm talking a lot. I must be nervous.
This, you know what? This is what this is for.
Oh yeah, right.
This is what we do.
Yeah, this is what you get paid to do.
You mentioned your dad. Was he a pastor?
He was.
What denomination was it?
It's kind of an interesting thing. Like he'd probably have been like under the moniker of like Presbyterian, but he was ordained. So he would joke that he could marry and bury people. But what he did was he worked on Capitol Hill and then worked for IBM and then got really disenchanted like with everything about all of that.
Because he saw what was happening.
Yeah.
and then, he was a good human.
Yeah, he was a good human. Yeah, and he was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so what he ended up doing was he'd already had his ordination like a long time ago. So what he wound up doing was being the executive director of like a bunch of Christian retreat centers. So it was an interesting thing. Like I grew up in Santa Cruz. I lived a couple other places like in the Midwest and the East Coast, and then but out to Santa Cruz before I was 10. And it is always like the weirdest paradox. I grew up in this like faith-based kind of retreat center, like in the middle of Santa Cruz County, which is just like fly that freak flag, like the smell of weed permeating every part, like tie-dye all over the place. And I don't know, I feel like that was a really fun way to grow up, but it was also kind of confusing at times. But yeah, so my dad didn't have a church that he was like the head of, but he was in charge of like 100 plus employees, like at this conference and retreat center.
Did you feel like a pastor's kid?
1,000%.
Oh, you did?
1,000%. Plus being like the mayor's kid.
Yeah, there's a pressure. And I had friends that were the preacher's daughters, sons. Was that, did you feel that?
Yeah, I'm nodding on a podcast. Joy, say yes. yeah, I totally did. I mean, it was sort of like, hey, everybody's watching. Like, don't fuck this up, you know? And I think for a long time, I kind of went by that whole like gold star moniker of like, I will show you how great I can be. And, you know, I think life has a funny way of making you like check that at the door. And I think the Civil Wars was one of those moments, for me too, of just like, well, that didn't go nearly the way that I thought it was going to. But you know what? I don't know. The more I go in life, the more I go, you know what? You can get hard and bitter about all that stuff when things don't go your way or when you lose, or it can make you kinder. And that's at least what I want to hope that I can become more, like no matter what happens to me.
I feel like in the same, you know, kind of world that you speak of, it's made me more empathetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And more understanding. And I don't know if I'm able to be kinder or not, but I'm more understanding.
Yeah. That's a good way of saying that, Bobby. Yeah, you've been through it.
We've all been through it. Yeah. We have our own crap in all different ways. I'm a big believer that my crap isn't any more important or different than anyone else's.
Same.
But I think that there are parts that I can understand.
Yeah.
And I don't think it makes me a better person. I don't even know if it makes me kinder. I just understand that struggle.
Yeah, you get the pain.
Yeah.
You get the pain. There are other pains
I for sure don't get.
Yeah.
And people may look and go, what a dick. He doesn't even understand.
Totally. Yeah.
So I don't know that I'm a good person in a lot of ways, but I think I'm a wonderful person in another. I think we're just right at this meter. We're always trying to find that meter.
Yeah. I think we're all just – I think that's partly – I mean, that's funny that you say that because – I say a lot, all we want to do is just be seen and appreciated and loved for who we actually are, not the facade or like what we can give other people. It's like, hey, if you can see me and appreciate me, that's like a great starting point. And I feel like that for everybody, you know, I tell my son that that's how we get to approach life and just people in general. It's like, there's always something you can learn from every single person you meet. And everybody just wants to be loved and seen and appreciated. And you know, it's funny you say preachers, are you a preacher's daughter? Because I actually wrote a song on my record that's called Preacher's Daughter. And and I think it's in a similar vein of like just wanting to be seen and known and loved and what that looks like. And that's hard sometimes in family to feel that, you know, putting the fun in dysfunction that we all have. But I don't know. I think it's important to own where we are. You know, and I think asking the questions is really important as opposed to just like racing to some kind of like faux answer. So
one of my friends, I said, hey, Joy Williams is coming over. And he was like, ask her if it's true. I guess I didn't know this. There's an urban legend that you learned to sing by hearing animals and you started harmonizing with animals.
No, but I really want that to be true.
Have you heard? I'm sure you've heard that.
That's no.
Like, oh, you haven't heard that?
Bobby, who are your friends?
It's someone in music and he said.
It's amazing.
He said, this is what I heard. Because you, he said, you, as a kid, you would walk through the woods.
Yeah.
And like birds would be, you know, chirping.
Yes.
And that you would harmonize with the birds. And that's how your voice sounds like it.
Oh my God, I love the story.
So you're not like Dr. Dolittle?
No, meet Snow White? No, I'm totally not. I really wish I was. I mean, the only thing that's true about that is that I would walk through the forest. We were like poor as church mice when we lived in Michigan right when I was growing up. And my mom would just get us out of the house. I think she was just like, I cannot handle my children. So we would just get out and go on nature walks. But it's actually my mom that taught me how to harmonize because she was a singer as well, but I really, man,
you should just run with that story.
I'm going to keep it. I'm going to go with this.
And that's where Canary came from. It used to.
I sang in low those many years when I was working in the coal mines. I thought to myself, I'm going to write a song about canaries.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to play a commercial here real quick.
Relationship tip number one. It's not going to truly feel like Valentine's unless there's a surprise bouquet of roses involved. In this season, the biggest and brightest roses are only found at 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, when you order early, 1-800-Flowers has amazing deals on vibrant and romantic Valentine's rose bouquets, arrangements, and more, starting at just $29.99. So many unbelievable deals from 1-800-Flowers, but you have to hurry. Gorgeous Valentine bouquets and arrangements starting at $29.99. It's an amazing deal, but it will not last long. Pick your delivery date and let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. When it comes to Valentine's, don't settle for anything less than the Rose Authority. 1-800-Flowers.com. To order the Valentine's Day bouquets, arrangements, and more starting at $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter the code BBS, as in Bobby Bone Show. Enter the code BBS right there. Order today and save. 1-800-Flowers.com. The code is BBS. The world is full of sounds that warn you of danger. Like, if you get a little too close to a rattlesnake, you're the ch-ch-ch-ch. But in the digital world, if your personal information is in danger, there is no ch-ch-ch-ch to let you know that you might be in trouble. The good thing is that LifeLock has added the power of Norton Security to see more cyber threats. Whether it's potential threats to your identity, like your personal information for sale on the dark web, or threats to your devices, like malware or emerging viruses. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Of course, no one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock with Norton can detect a wide range of threats that could sneak up on you. Join now and get 10% off your first year. Just go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and enter the promo code BONES. 1-800-LifeLock, enter the promo code BONES for 10% off at LifeLock.com. I love LifeLock. I have used LifeLock. They've helped me so many times. LifeLock.com.
All right. Why don't we talk, because as a kid, I guess, when did you start singing? Because you did Christian music for a while first,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did.
There were things I didn't know. I didn't know you had won so many awards. Like, I guess I don't keep up with that stuff.
Wait, I won so many awards? What like, are you talking about?
I didn't know you won all the Dove awards.
I won zero of
you
them.
Were you nominated for a bunch of Dove awards?
Yeah, I was okay. Nominated.
I just saw on Wikipedia, and I hate just doing the Wikipedia thing.
No, I get
because it lies about me, too. There's all kinds of crap. This is not true. But what it does do is it gives you those graphs.
Yeah.
And so I scrolled the graphs and I saw all the Doves.
Yeah.
I guess I thought you won.
No, once a bridesmaid. Or I was a bridesmaid, never bride, that one. Yeah, I got nominated and did. I was in that genre for a long time. I mean, I started at 17 because it wasn't that long. But when you're that young, it can feel that long. But yeah, I felt like my worldview just started shifting a whole lot. I just like couldn't keep doing it. So I actually asked out of my record deal at basically the peak of my career at that point, which is, you can imagine how well that went over. But I just couldn't do it anymore. So I actually left and sat on my couch for like a good solid 6 months and then worked at a friend's boutique in Green Hills, getting different sizes shirts for various country stars.
Here in town?
Yeah, here
in Nashville
town.
By this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah. I was working at a shop called Habit and I was selling ads for a music magazine and then got called back by some of my friends that were making music and asked if I could start writing for them. And I was like, oh, I can do this. I do like this. And then got a pub deal. And then I started writing jingles for TV and film. And that's where the seedbed of all the money that my husband and I, Nate, were able to put into the Civil Wars because we fully funded that ourselves. And, yeah, and the rest, they say, is history.
Okay, let me rewind, because you said something that I want to go back to. You used to get shirts for country singers?
Yeah.
Who would come into the store?
Oh, I would... am I allowed to say this? Well, I don't want to be like... I guess there's nothing wrong. They used to shop at these places.
Is there like a HIPAA law on shirts
no,
and country singers?
I don't know. I just like... I remember Faith Hill would come into the store a lot. She was always really sweet. Reba came in one time. Yeah, there was a bunch of... There is a bunch of artists that would come through and imagine if you will, like, you know, I've been on the road. I've done this for a while, not in country, obviously, but I'm sitting there being like, and your total is and just being like, what is happening in my life? And I was 23, but it was really good for me because I think I started so young that I was really used to that sort of like the buzz of applause. I was really used to that. I didn't realize how much I'd kind of been addicted to that. And then I've never done cocaine, but it was like, I think I realized, like, I thought it was like a cocaine high when it was really just like a Diet Coke buzz. And it was really good for me to kind of be like, yeah, I'm all right if I don't do music. And then somehow once I let it go, that's when it, as they say, like once you let it go, it can come back to you somehow. So it's weird. I've had many different chapters of making music, you know, like, faith-based music and then leaving that and then like TV film music and then, going to a songwriting camp for that the Sir Letic brothers started for this band called Gloriana. And
she winked at me when she said that. You couldn't see that.
Yep.
Oh, you know, I used to date Rachel. Is that why you winked?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm assuming that's why.
A little birdie told me today, actually. And then
that was like a different life. Don't
totally.
Worry about that. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah,
for sure. But and then it was like the Civil Wars happened, and then back to solo. So there's just been like lots of iterations. But I guess that's how life works. You know, you just don't quite know how it's going to wind and bend.
Did you miss the applause?
I didn't realize how much I'd gotten used to it. So, yeah.
Did you find your love on stage? Because I have found that, like, I think on a stage when I do stand-up or...
Which is so brave of you, my God.
It's all the same.
I don't know.
For any of us to go and expose ourselves
and
go, please love me. Because that's basically what I feel like I'm doing out there. It's like I'm walking out there with a microphone.
Oh, my word. And your heart just like...
And I'm just like, please love me.
Ugh, Bobby.
But I think in a way that's what we're all doing.
Yeah, whether it's a stage or not, don't you think? But I think for me, I've had... When the Civil Wars ended, I've been called every name in the book, you know? I've experienced the heights of applause and like the matching tattoos that I've gotten with, you know, A-level artists. And then I've gotten the like, oh my God, I can't believe that someone actually called me that. They have no idea what they're talking about. And so I think I remember someone saying at one point, if you believe your good press, you're going to have to believe all your bad. So I think, I don't know. I was a lot more that way up to the ending of the Civil Wars. And then it was like, oh wow. Kind of like everything I've been working so hard to like me, like me, like me, love me, love me, love me. It backfired and I'm still breathing, and that's really good to know. And I think it helped me, move forward at least in a different way, but it's really vulnerable to get up on stage. Like you hope people like what you make. Otherwise you don't have a gig, you know. It's like cooking as well. Like I think music's a lot like cooking. It's like it's fun to make it for yourself, but at the end of the day it's a lot more enjoyable when it's shared and people are at the table and like digging in, you know. That feels a lot better to me. But I can't control it, and I think that's maybe the part that I'm getting to is I can't control it. All I can do is just show up and make what I make, not be too precious about it. Take what I do seriously, but not take myself too seriously, and just enjoy it. Like, my God, if I'm not enjoying it, why would I keep doing this? This is an insane lifestyle, like a different city every night and like dragging my kids all around the country. And there's a lot that's great about it too. But it's, I think I've been learning to sort of like slough off, hopefully been sloughing off the shit that I don't need anymore. Am I allowed to swear in here? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can swear. In here, you can swear in the bathroom. All the rooms are swearable.
Okay, good. Sweet. I speak French fluently. Yeah, so I think that's what I've been learning these last few years. Yeah. Okay. Where do you feel like you fall in line with that? Like, do you feel like you're still, that's still like kind of like the edge of like, I really need you to like what I'm doing right now.
I feel.
Sorry, like, now I'm your psychologist.
No, it's okay. I feel like a fraud.
Don't we all?
Yes, we do. But I really, like, I think I'm running just barely ahead of that. Like,
huh.
I feel like I'm committing crimes all over America. This is what I really feel like. And eventually the cops are going to catch me.
That's why you can't sleep.
Yeah. But I do feel like I don't really have a talent. Like, I don't, there's nothing that you would look at me and go, he's really good at that.
Are you kidding me? I mean, are you actually being serious?
No,
right now?
I mean, yes, I'm being absolutely serious.
No, yes. Like, I'm literally looking, I mean, we're sitting here and I'm looking at two books that you've written.
Yeah, but again, that's just, I've worked my way to those. I have friends that are
Which
so talented.
Which is a skill. Right?
I think I learned it.
So you're a quick learner.
But it's
also
not really
a
talent. So my fear is if I can't work, I don't have anything.
Like, really?
I have friends that are great writers. They could take a year off and come back and write amazingly in a year. I have friends that are great singers or great things.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's, I don't have that. All I have is, and so I don't think I'm that good at anything. So I feel like a fraud all the time.
Bobby, this is fascinating. I feel like we could like That would be a whole other podcast we could talk about.
And I only put these books up so when pictures are taken of this place that people see them, hopefully they buy them.
You're like, this is key marketing.
Yes, that's how I pay the bills.
Yes, and your house is beautiful. Well, so well done.
Thank you.
I mean, I think I get it. I mean, I think we all feel like if people really knew, would they really like us?
But
you know?
You're a great singer, right? Like you. Yeah.
I am a singer. I mean, I'm glad you think I'm a great singer. I love singing.
I think you have the recognition to say you're a great. You could walk on the street right now and open a case and sing, and people would give you money. If I walked on the street right now and pulled a microphone out, started doing this show, people would be like, "Hey, idiot, why are you talking into a microphone on the street?"
Dude, but you like the thing that I find fascinating about you is that you are literally like. You have 9 lives. It's like, you're like, I'm going to go on a show and, you know, I'm going to dance and like, I'm going to win that thing. And you do like, I don't have talent. And
I was the worst dancer. Now I was the second worst dancer, but there were 13 people. I was probably the 12th worst dancer.
Okay. But still you have this like tenacity about you. That's so apparent. And I don't know. I think maybe that sense of like, I'm a fraud might be what helps keep you humble. Cause you
Absolutely.
Do so much
it
stuff.
For sure. It keeps me humble, and it's not even humble. It keeps me normal-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that's why I relate to people that will listen to this podcast, will listen to my show or come to my shows, is that I have what they have.
Yeah.
We like, you're one of the 1%ers who has this great, great singing skill.
Oh, gotta pay you later.
Us normal folks don't really have anything dynamic about us. And so I think people root for me because I am them.
Huh.
And that's what I feel like. So I feel like a fraud a lot. So you ask, like, what is it? People are like, you're so brave, Bobby. No, I'm scared. There's a difference.
Huh. Yeah, but you still jump. That's the thing.
Because I have to jump because there's a big alligator behind me.
There
it's like
go.
I'm going to die one of the two ways, right? So I'm going to jump
and
hopefully.
You're going to die in a blaze of glory.
Yes, that's kind of what it is for me.
That's so awesome. I get it. But you're dying in a blaze of glory. Makes for a good story.
Maybe I will die in a blaze of glory.
No, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, okay. This is not about me. You can feel free to ask whatever, but like, I only have like an hour with you.
Oh, I know.
So I want to talk all about, let's just listen to our music together. Let's play all of our songs and we'll just have a listening party. And I can, when you play it, I'll just be like, I like that one. I like that one.
I like that one. I like that one. I like that one.
Okay.
I like that one too.
So you moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
How old were you?
17.
Wow, you moved here as a teenager.
Yeah.
Did you graduate high school?
I graduated high school. I had to legally emancipate myself from my parents in order to sign my record deal.
How'd they feel about that?
They were fine. They were like, it's just a piece of paper. And moved out here when I was 18, had 2 bags, had $250 in my pocket, dropped 1 bag off at my then manager's house, and hit the road for 250 days that year, and then
road
for another 220 days that next year, and was literally singing with like mic and like tracks like on a disc, and talk about like jumping off a diving board. That's gonna grow you up real fast. Yeah. As is being on a bus with being the sole female on a bus at 18 with a bunch of dudes. That will also grow you up quite quickly.
I have a couple friends that were Christian artists for a while, and they switched and they went secular.
Yeah.
And I would ask them like, hey, why did you change? Well, one, they said they could play more places.
Yeah.
Like they were like, really, we could have somewhat the same message, but they also felt like that they were running out of things they could write about.
Yeah. It's the only genre of music that's determined by lyrical content.
Really?
I
never thought of it because they're a Christian rapper. But, you know, there are a lot of Christian types of music, but they're still considered Christian.
Sure. I just felt like what I believed shifted so much I couldn't keep doing it.
So it wasn't as much about you were in a box about
what
you
did feel that too.
Yeah.
But it was also just like, I gotta get out of here. Like, I'm gonna grab a few things and keep them in my backpack as I go. But a bunch of this stuff, like, I just... it didn't feel like it resonated anymore with me. And I wanted the freedom to just write what I wanted to write about. And it's funny, like, you know, writing a jingle for Oscar Mayer was definitely not my, goal in life. But that was interesting, like doing that led for me to go down the path of writing for other people. And then writing, felt like the Civil Wars, it was so much writing about the dysfunction of relationships. And like the obsessive nature of relationships, and now like moving through having been in that duo and writing those kinds of music, now it's kind of like I like turning the gem, so to speak, like about what does it look like to be human, and how does love work? How does it not work? What does it look like to like admit when things are really terrible, and then when things are actually like there might be like a ray of hope, and just playing around. I play around on this record actually with some like religious, I guess wording, like a religious verbiage, but I'm turning it kind of on its ear, and it's fun to play with that stuff for me.
The record comes out May 3rd.
Yeah.
Let me mention that again. I want to play this. Do we have the jingle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here is the...
Oh, God.
Here's the... You can set this up. This is the Oscar Mayer jingle that you wrote.
Yes, called It Doesn't Get Better Than This.
It doesn't get better. It doesn't get better.
Make you laugh? Have you heard it in a while?
No.
Oh. This is awesome. I play this. I play it every day. I listen to that
when you're
day.
Like brushing your teeth every morning. Yeah. It's your sunshine wake up song. No, you can really. No, hey guys. I hate you so much right now. No. I giggle because that. I literally wrote it in an afternoon over the phone with somebody in LA named Tim Myers. And I got 6 digits for writing that song.
Aren't those so lucrative?
Yes. Yeah. I had zero clue. I had zero clue at the time. But that was when, like, that was, like, the height of TV film. I don't know what you could gross, like, making back then. But it's just so silly to me that, like, writing songs that, like, was backing bacon and lunch meat, like, became how I paid my bills and like fronted, it was half of a duo that I, you know, my husband and I financially like got off the ground. It's just silly how life works.
Just play that a little more.
No,
just
Bobby,
just want to hear the
I'm going to leave. No.
But it's really, that's enough. But it is funny because I just signed a deal, and I think it'll come out next week, with the General Insurance. I mean, Shaq,
I'm
doing the commercial with Shaq, with the little guy, the commercial.
You did,
and I would never sign with someone that I didn't think it was good. Like,
yeah.
I'm at the point in my career now where I can almost pick the partners that I have.
Yeah,
they pay so much money for commercials.
See, you could afford to take a vacation right now. That's all I'm saying.
I just went to Hawaii for 3 days.
How was it?
I worked the whole time. I mean, it was American Idol. I went and taped American Idol.
That's
for like
right.
14 hours a day.
Oh my God! You're like, it was great. It was a vacation.
Mike went
hours.
On vacation.
Yeah,
like I went had to the radio show and
yeah.
tape Idol. And Mike went, and he'd work like an hour a day,
and then go to the beach.
He'd go to the beach,
and then just go surf.
And then, yeah, then I would go work and try to mentor the kids.
Yeah, which you're pretty good at.
I'm all right. I'm okay. I mean,
love it.
I just tell them. I tell them how to avoid being sucky. I tell them, like,
the title of your autobiography: How to Avoid Being Sucky.
That was what we were going to go with, but it said they went with bare bones.
Yeah, that worked too. That worked too.
Let's. I didn't realize, as we get over to the Civil Wars, I didn't realize, again, because I don't follow the awards so much,
uh-huh.
that you guys have won so many freaking awards.
Yeah, 4 Grammys.
And that didn't shock me, the Grammys, as much as the CMAs.
Yeah.
Because I never thought of you guys, and I hope it's not an insult, as a country duo.
No, neither did we. And it when we got sort of welcomed into the fold, it was like, oh my God, like... It was that moment where it's like, they like me. They really like me. It was amazing to be invited into that community. I'd lived in Nashville a long time, but not really felt like I was in the fold of that. And we had a good time, but I mean, we were definitely like, you know, we were the dark horses for sure. Like when all the names are, you know, being announced and it's like clap, 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 like up for the award. And it's like our name got called and it would be like a lot less clapping. No offense taken. It was just, we weren't well known in that community.
Right.
But then you
would win.
Yeah. And then sometimes, not, I mean, sometimes.
If you win once, you would win. That's a win.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I suppose so.
You want a couple CMAs?
We just got nominated.
You never won?
Mm-mm.
I look at these grids, and I think you guys won everything.
But, I mean, let's go with that.
You won 4 Grammys?
Yeah.
You won Best Folk Album?
Best Folk Album, Best Performance by a Duo or Group. I think we won
that. I have
them
here.
Twice.
I can actually look at my notes. I always feel like...
Yeah, you tell me, because I'm not great.
You won Best Folk Album.
Oh, and then one for Safe and Sound that we wrote with Taylor for the Hunger Games.
Barton Hollow for Best Folk Album.
Yeah.
Best Country Duo or Group. Maybe this is where the country... I'm thinking
yeah.
of the country.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you did win a Grammy for Country.
Yep.
For Barton Hollow. 2013, Best Song Written for Visual Media for Safe and Sound.
Yeah.
And then 2014, Best Country Duo from This Valley.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was when I saw Country in the awards. Because I, again, was a fan, never thought of you guys as country.
Yeah, neither did we. And it wasn't that we didn't want to be. It's just we didn't think that we actually like classified under the qualification of it. I mean, we were in the running with like Little Big Town for some of those. And for the group duo performance. And we were like, well, surely they're going to get it. So it was, we always felt surprised. I always felt surprised anytime our name actually got called. So, but I'm glad. I'm glad it did. They look nice on my shelf, and they're a good memory.
Yeah, freaking Grammys.
Yeah.
Where do you keep them?
We have a listening room in our house that is, there's like this old, like flannel looking, very like Victorian looking swing. Like almost looks like a porch swing, but it's inside. And then a whole wall of vinyl that Nate is obsessed with, like records. And then we have a record player, and then there's like, where the vinyl actually should go, because now it's just like overflowed onto the floor where it's now stacked. But there's four sort of like cubbies where you would stack vinyl, but instead it's just prominently placed. And it's crazy to look up and see those. Yeah, it feels like another lifetime ago too.
Really?
Yeah, 1,000%.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
So, okay, let's talk about the formation. You mentioned that you were able to make money to actually finance at least the start of the Civil Wars. Mm-hmm. So, tell me the birth of the duo.
At that writing camp for the Sir Leddick brothers trying to get a radio single for a particular group.
You can say Gloriana.
Gloriana.
Did you ever write anything for them?
We did, but they didn't. I mean, they cut. Okay. Yeah. And so we were in a writing session And it was almost like drawing straws. They were like, okay, you go in this room and write. You go in this room and write. You. And then we'd like switch. Like it'd be like 2 hour writes and then switch. It's like a writing camp, old school. And first write of the day was John Paul and a guy named Greg Becker. And I just felt like I'd, you know, met a kindred spirit in John Paul. And just the writing was so easy. And like we just started harmonizing and it was just like, I remember going home and telling Nate, like, I think I met somebody that I'm supposed to make music with. And, cut to like a few months later, we're all in Nate's in my black Honda Element, like driving down to Eddie's attic in Decatur, where John Mayer would play back in the day. And, like recording like the live board tape, you know, recording that. And then just being like, why don't we just put it out? Let's just see what happens. And then being like, wouldn't it be cool if it got listened to like 500 times? That'd be so rad. And then within the first week, it had like 25,000 listens and it just kept growing. And then we put out an EP and, a song got put on Grey's Anatomy in a particular, like a, you know, near the end, like the kind of the big placement.
Was that the spark?
Yeah, that was one of them.
Was that the big first, like, yeah. Oh, somebody that actually has influence.
Yeah.
Thinks we're pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it can tend to be a blur looking back at that. There was so much happening all at the same time.
So Poison and Wine plays on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, here we go.
You remember watching it going, holy crap, we're on TV.
I do. And I'd had other songs like the Oscar Mayer jingle, you know, and it was, and I'd had other solo music of mine in that whole era also get on Grey's. So I'd had a relationship with the TV film supervisor for that show. But they came, I guess, to discover that music on their own and put it in. So it's been really fun even now to see people be like, oh wait, okay. So I used to listen to you over here, and then I discovered the Civil Wars, and then I discovered it was you. Like that same girl I listened to was the same girl that's in the Civil Wars, and then I'm hearing that now where people are discovering the new songs on Spotify, and they're like, oh wait, that's the girl from the Civil Wars, because nobody knew my name like when I was in the Civil Wars. So like Joy Williams is not like that. Right. That's not like a one and done. People understand that you know that was half. I was half of that in terms of notoriety. But it's an interesting thing having had that kind of notoriety and then to move into another season where it's not starting over at all, but I have so many different chapters of making music that there's like kids who grew up listening to me making my church music, and then, you know, people who knew the duo, and then people discovering the music for the first time now with what I'm making for their album Front Porch. So there's so many different chapters.
How would you two decide who sang what? That's what I would think. Like, I would always wanted to sing the freaking lead.
It was never contentious about that until later. But I think for me, it just, my memory of it is that, I mean, I love to harmonize, so that just came so easily.
Because you do it with the birds as a kid.
Exactly. Me and the squirrels. And yeah, so it was like, I think a lot of times we'd come in to a songwriting session and it would be like, hey, I just watched this documentary, you know, called Grey Gardens, and I really want to, let's write about that. And it just depended on the day, like who would end up taking the lead. Like if I found the melody to something, that would generally be like, I would take the lead because that's the key that we had started in. So it was pretty fluid until it wasn't.
What was it like watching the crowds grow?
Insane.
Because
it was insane.
Because you guys weren't together like 20 years. This all happened relatively quick in the lifespan.
Yeah, within 5 years' time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember we were on the road with another indie act. And the Live at Eddie's Attic came out, and which was that board tape I was just mentioning. And we were going to cities we'd never played. And we were like first up. And we would play, and people would be singing along. And we'd never been, like, we had nothing out besides that, and we'd never been to that city. And we watched that happen time and time and time again until the person that was like, I'm supposedly like meant to close the show was like, let's switch.
Wow.
And
that happened.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And then getting the phone call that Adele wanted to take us on the road. That was like, oh my God. And we'd gotten the call like, hey, come play Leno. Hey, come play Letterman. Hey, we're over in the UK. Jules Holland wants you to play. And then getting the phone call that Adele was a fan and wanted us to go on the road with her and us doing two tours with her. And like the crowds just continued. And then writing with Taylor, and we'd been friends. And then getting to, you know, make music like that. It was lightning in a bottle. It really was. It was kind of that classic phrase, is lightning in a bottle. But got to be careful with lightning in a bottle, because that can, it can go away just as quickly as it came.
Did you guys play Jules Holland?
Yeah, we did.
I've been approached to kind of redo that show here.
Oh, really? What do you think?
I don't think I have the skill set to do what Jules does musically. Like, I play.
Yeah.
But he's proficient. He can sit down and really play.
Got it.
And so BBC said, hey, we want to remake the Jules Holland show. We want you to be the host. And for those that don't know Jules, he's a talk show versus and a musician. And yes. He'll sit down with artists. And I want to do a talk show, but I don't know if I could do what he does.
Yeah, I get that.
But I'm a big fan of what Jules mm-hmm. does. And so when you say that, and I spent so many hours just watching his show because they were like, hey, I want to recreate this in America.
Yeah.
And I know they went to another artist here and said, hey, who has a much bigger skill set about bringing it over. I don't want to run that thing, but but yeah, I'm a big Jules Holland fan, and rarely does anyone bring up Jules Holland.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the UK, it's an institution. And I remember like watching it and just being like, man, I want to play that one day. And then getting to, and it was like Tony Bennett was on it. And
wow. Really?
Yeah. It was like, it was crazy. Like the names that were there. I was like, what am I doing here?
What I'll do is I'll go from act to act. Like you're all like,
You're literally in the round, and it's almost like it's almost like
it's like Coldplay next to Tony Bennett,
next to Arctic Monkeys, next to a country act.
Who played with you?
It was Laura Marling, and it was Tony Bennett, and oh crap, I'm forgetting the other one. Please forgive me. Anyways, but it was great. I like sat over to the side and had a conversation with Tony Bennett about creating and painting and. And he was just like the most fabulous human being. I was like, what is happening to my life right now? You know, it happened so fast.
Are you so good at what you do? And I'm not kidding. I'm not being facetious. Are you so good at what you do that you don't get nervous doing it anymore?
No, I always get nervous.
Really?
Yeah, it's an indication that I care.
I absolutely agree with that. Now, maybe not nervous. Okay, let me rephrase this.
Okay, but let me answer it and then for a second. And then if I still haven't answered let me know. Because I would say that... I feel like I'm in a whole new chapter again. Like I'm like going back to music that is more stripped down, more rootsy, more maybe akin to what people are familiar hearing me having been in the Civil Wars. But it's a new iteration. And so I think, yeah, I know how to do this, but how do I do this now? So it's like, I know how to be present. I know how to sing when my voice is tired. You know, I know how to sing when I've had 3 hours of sleep and a crying baby in the middle of the night on a bus. You know, I can do those things. I know how to just be like, you know, you guys, I don't even know what city I'm in, you know, and just like let down, so to speak. But I always get nervous.
Are you nervous that people won't like what you're doing, or are you nervous, for example, like if you go on Leno or on a mat, would you get more nervous as the stage got bigger, or do you get more nervous as the stage gets, it's a new stage?
I think it's new. I mean, I remember playing Austin City Limits when I was in the duo, and it was 25,000 people. And
the
I thought,
festival.
That were there watching that, our set. And I just thought, we just have to go out and do it. We do this all the time. We would play.
ACL.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I lived in Austin for 13 years.
Oh, that's right.
We go every year.
That's right.
And I was a big fan. So I don't know how many years you played it, but I saw you guys 1 year for sure.
We only played one.
Well, then I was there. I was that guy.
You were that dude.
I was the guy harmonizing.
We were there.
Yeah, I was there.
We were there. I knew it was you. Didn't even know. I think it's just, you just do what you do. If the stage gets bigger, it's a little bit more like, I still always will try and find someone's eyes, you know, it's just more options when the crowd gets bigger.
Did you have a fear as it got bigger? Again, I'm going to project a lot of my fears onto you
because
I feel like we're a bit similar in some ways. Did you have a fear that when it got bigger, you had to take care of more people and that if it got smaller, you couldn't take care of those people anymore?
I think the getting bigger part, I looked around at one point and I was like, well, we're employing this many people and the people I care about. And so when the duo like imploded the way that it did, I just looked around and I was like, oh my God, all these people that have invested their time and like, were like, it's their salaries and all of that stuff. It was such a heartbreak, but I'm glad to say that, I've remained friends with, you know, almost everybody, in that era, with the exception of a few, but
for me, it's the, I have all it's all my friends, like all my show. I have like 8 or 9 people.
Yeah. Well, and you're super loyal as well.
Like my people have been with me forever.
I know, which is rad.
And so I'm like, man, if I go backward, I mean, I've put a lot of that pressure on me that I can't go backward because I've uprooted people and moved them with me.
Yep.
So as it's gotten bigger, I think the pressure has amassed that I have to keep it at least the same.
Yep.
And hopefully bigger because I want them to have better lives.
Yes, I totally get that. And I've had a lot of conversations with other artists and people in various industries that when they do well, they have that same exact feeling.
Today, I had a little bit of pride as Mike over here was wearing a jacket from Nordstrom.
Ayo. Now, getting
fancy,
Mike.
Mike grew up very poor. Mike was my intern. Mike was my phone screener.
Like, oh my God. Mike was eating Top Ramen just to make things.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, make ends meet.
The guy came through the struggle.
Ramen and Kool-Aid.
And I
you rode the struggle bus.
And I said, what's up with that jacket? I like that jacket. And he goes, got it from Nordstrom. I was like, who are you? The fact that you're even in Nordstrom.
I'm in the money. I'm in the money.
Guy gets a big raise. what was it like with Adele? You're out with her.
Oh my God. It was so much fun. I'll never forget the first time because we hadn't met her before we literally went on the road. So we were sound checking and she came up. She was at the top floor. She had her makeup hair cape, like when you go to the salon, on half her hair in curlers, the other half not. And she was smoking a cigarette and she yelled, she went, oh my God, you're finally here. I'm so glad you're here. And it was like instant awesome. Like she just is instantly awesome. And but I felt nervous and there was kind of a distance that we was sort of had with like the amount of people on the road and the tour was kind of bigger. And, but she hadn't really exploded to the degree that she was just like right on the precipice of. But day two, or show three, I take it back. Show three, she said, let's get dinner on an off day. And so we did, we got dinner and I tried to keep up with Adele.
Or drinking. Yeah, drinking. She drinks a lot. Yeah.
She doesn't so much anymore. Yeah. But
legendary stories I've heard.
My God. I thought I didn't realize that we were at a nice restaurant, you know, where like then your drink never fully gets empty before they bring you a new one. But I was told later that I had like 8 gin and tonics.
Oh, you're talking about for you too.
Yes.
You didn't realize what you were.
No. Terrible idea. I wound up getting wheelchaired out of we ate dinner. And then I vaguely remember going back to her hotel and hanging out in the lobby because we were having so much fun. And all of a sudden it just like hit. It just hit so hard. And I wound up being wheelchaired out of the Four Seasons
you
hotel.
You were wheelchaired out.
Sure was. And then somebody had recorded the experience that was on tour with us. And it was on the projector when I went to sound check the next day and was laughing so hard in between needing to like really, really vomit. And both Adele and I had like buckets side stage that next night. But after that, we were fast friends.
That's funny.
And we stayed friends. And then on the last night of tour, we got matching tattoos. And she gave me a bottle of gin. Jerk. Just to rub it in. But
what tattoos did you guys get?
With 3 dots on our left wrist.
Oh, that's what I saw that when you had your arm up.
Yeah, 3 dots on our left wrist. It's the ellipsis that just means to be continued. And we all just felt like
that's a cool tattoo.
Yeah, there was a lot happening in all of our lives at that time. And we thought that would be a good thing. Also her first tattoo, or tattoo, she says.
Tattoo.
Her first tattoo. But there has since been more. I've not added as many as she has. On my body. You've got a couple.
I just got a matching one that says Mirror Ball. Sharna and I won.
No way. That's rad.
Yeah, we were like, well, first, she never thought we were going to win that show. And I was like, I can figure things out. Like, bear with me. Like, I don't know if we're going to win, but we're going to get far.
Yeah.
And I said, if we win, we have to get matching tattoos. And she said yes. And then we set it on the air. So then we got them. But we didn't get the actual Mirror Ball.
Yeah.
We just got the words Mirror Ball.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, what, like, whose idea was it to get Mirror Ball?
Well, it was mine, but I made her think it was hers. So I didn't really do it. Quality. It looked like you were driving into a city, like a water tower. Whenever you drew the actual mirror ball, So I had suggested a few things and really highlighted the words.
Totally.
And then like a week later, she was like, "You know what I was thinking?" And I was like, "What? Tell me." I knew where she was going to. She's like, "I think we should get the words." I was like, "You know,
what a great idea."
That's a good idea, and I let her have all of that because if it didn't turn out good, I wanted it to be her fault.
Yeah, it's on you now.
It is on me, and I'm fine. This is my grandmother who adopted me.
Yeah, so
that's my mom.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, and then that's Arkansas.
Yeah, dude. Rumor is you at some point want to run to be governor of.
There's not rumor. I'll be governor of Arkansas. Okay. I'll probably be president.
I think you will. Go for it.
If I can win a dance show, I can win anything.
Yeah, because dancing and politics are pretty much the same thing.
Just act like you know what you're doing. And act like you're enjoying it. And people will be like, "I vote for you."
Shake hands, kiss babies, and it's you. So I mean, sky's the limit, dude.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, I was going, "I'm going to run for governor of Arkansas." And the real governor of Arkansas was starting to be annoyed by the fact that all the press was covering.
I bet
that I may run for the governor of Arkansas.
I bet.
And so he calls me and says, "Bobby, why don't you come into the governor's mansion?" Now, for me, I grew up in a town of 700 people in Mountain Pine, Arkansas. That was a huge deal.
Yeah.
There are two people that I would look at as a kid and think they were hugely famous. The governor and Ned Permey, the weatherman in Little Rock.
Ned.
Yes.
Ned.
And the governor called me. And so I go, and my girlfriend at the time, Lindsay, we go and we drive to Little Rock, and I'm freaking out. Like, I've done some cool stuff, but I'm jaded by this whole thing now.
Well, you've seen a lot.
Yes. And again, I don't care about famous people so much because, again,
It's just people.
It's just people.
Yeah.
Right. So, but it's a freaking governor of Arkansas.
Yes. And I'm different with him.
This is the coolest thing. So I go in, and I didn't know he was throwing a party for me. And there are like 12 people on a table. I'm on the menu. It's like, you can't eat me. But
I know. I was like, wow, that sounds really dark.
It's like Bobby and a special guest, Lindsay L. Her name was on there.
No way.
And so we have this dinner, and everybody's like standing up saying all these. And I'm like, what is happening? It's like Twilight Zone.
I bet.
So he's like, "Hey, can I talk to you?"
Was he like, "Hey, can you not?"
Yeah.
He was?
Mm-hmm. He was.
For real? Mm-hmm. Or was he just kind of being
to really know.
Well, yeah, because you're a tour de force, dude.
He wanted to really know. And I said, "You know, I'm not going to run.
Yet."
With him, because he only had two terms. He can only do two terms. And he won this year.
Okay.
He won again.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to win. But I would have really been annoying, right? And again, who knows? Everything's happened. Who knows?
That's awesome.
And so, but we made a couple deals. And I got to see firsthand.
What do you mean you made a couple deals?
We made a couple deals in the back room.
Is it legal?
Okay,
just checking.
Isn't everything legal in politics? One of them was that he would write in my book. And he wrote a whole thing in my book.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because my last book's all about failure. That's all anyone could write about. So he wrote about his biggest failure.
Hmm.
And so another one I can tell you off the air.
Yeah.
But that was really cool for me to go and do that.
That's awesome.
To go, but I don't even know how I got over to this. You know what was annoying to me at one point? I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan. I'm going to give you an analogy here.
Go for it.
I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan. When they won the World Series, I was so annoyed with everybody who became Chicago Cubs fans.
Because you felt like it was like fair weather fans.
My whole life, I've been through all the crap, I've been a Cubs fan.
I get it.
Whenever that song came out with Taylor, I was so annoyed at people that became fans of the Civil Wars. I was so annoyed because all of a sudden everybody loved them.
Yeah.
You guys were their favorite band. Well. And I was like, "You guys suck. You guys." I was a fan because then all of a sudden everybody was all on the Civil Wars.
That's amazing.
And for about a month I was like, "I hate Civil Wars. I don't even like them anymore."
Yeah, it's now that everybody knows.
This was a big thing for you guys.
It was.
Like, it exposed you to so many people that may not have searched for even your type of music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, the timing of the Civil Wars coming out too, it's like, who had any idea that like Mumford and Sons and that whole kind of folk like revival was going to come? Nobody knew. I didn't know that. We didn't write knowing that was going to happen. But we were playing a gig in LA and Taylor texted me and we'd met and, you know, become friends. And she was like, "Hey, are you in town? I think you're in town. I checked out your tour schedule. You're in town, right?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "I want you to come write with me." And I was like, "Okay, well, we got a gig tonight." And so she's like, "It's okay. We can write it in like 3 hours." And so we went over to T-Bone Burnett's studio and literally wrote it in 2 hours, recorded what you hear, the vocals, like all in one room. And that was that.
So when it comes out, monster movie.
Yeah.
With a monster artist.
Yeah. From a monster book series that I was obsessed with.
Me too.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different thing.
For days, I know. You and I could nerd out later.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, that did that kind of pivot you guys commercially?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did. What was amazing was Taylor and Adele. You know, those things were and all the late nights starting to come. It was, you know, we could just start seeing the snowball effect happen. So that was so crazy. I got to do so many things that I'd always hoped to do as an artist and meet so many people that I'd always, you know, looked up to and have a lot of really good memories and take those memories with me. You know, it was so painful when the duo ended and it was abrupt and it was really hard. But I think now, you know, with making music now, you know, it's not like I'm going to pretend I wasn't like ever, that I didn't ever do any of that. Like it's really important for me. It's fun to be nostalgic about it, in the ways that it brings me a lot of joy in how many people enjoy the music and connected with it. And frankly allows me the ability to keep making music now. So, yeah, I don't really know how we got.
I was so annoyed with Civil Wars fans. The Civil Wars fans.
Oh, just because. Oh, yeah, just because.
No, I was just annoyed with them. I was like, you guys aren't even real fans. Shut up.
Well, you know what's funny is that you talk about the Chicago Cubs, but I got married to a Boston Red Sox fan in 2004. So, which it was like, you know, that was the year.
It was the first one.
It was after 86 years, yeah. You know, so I'm like laughing about you, you know, joking about the Fairweather fans. And I'm like, I probably would have been one of them if you could have considered me one of them. Cause I was like a San Francisco Giants fan. And then all of a sudden married into like Red Sox family for like multiple generations and was sitting next to my husband wearing like four Red Sox shirts.
That's
and like all the hats.
Though, right?
Yeah. He, I married in.
You married in.
I did. I married in.
So then you guys put out a free download and you're done. The Civil Wars are done.
We put out a free download and then we record an EP, the Poison and Wine EP, and put that out. And that's when the placement for Grays happens. And that's when stuff starts really like spinning. We record a record with Charlie Peacock and we record with Charlie because I'd known him since I was 17 and I knew he could do a great job. We recorded it in an old like gutted church that was Charlie and Andy's home and put it out. And we'd been touring and we just never stopped touring. We just toured and toured and toured and toured and toured and toured, which was helpful for our careers, but not necessarily for our minds. And then you get the phone calls, you know how this goes. It's like the phone call happens and then you get a bigger phone call and then you get a bigger phone call and it's very alluring, like saying yes. And you want to say yes, cause you've worked your whole life to get, you know, to a certain place, whatever that place is.
Isn't it cool to finally be cool?
I don't know. You tell me.
No, I don't know. Listen, I don't think I'll ever be cool. But what I mean is people actually thinking you're cool.
Oh.
Like I get work offered to me now. Just like when you guys were blowing, you had to be like, oh, we've been working so hard. And people now are offering us to come do these shows.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It felt really good. Felt really good.
So what do you say about the breakup?
That it's layered and that I'm only one half. So I try and speak with a lot of discretion. And that it was really fun until it wasn't.
Do you miss having someone on stage as a partner?
No.
Or do you like just doing joy now?
I like doing this now.
Yeah.
This feels very much like where I'm supposed to be. And I can be thankful for the season and have learned a shit ton from it. But I once had somebody in an office in a very high, tall building, a very important building in a very big city, tell me that no one wanted to hear me unless I was standing next to a man. And that for me was the moment when I said, you know what, I don't think that's true at all. And that was just a few years ago. So I think for me, I'm exactly where I need to be. And it feels really good to be standing on my own 2 feet. And I am collaborating with people. I have an amazing amazing band that I get to travel with. I've got Anthony DaCosta on guitar and Wilhelmina Frank Zerta, who plays like every instrument you could possibly think of. And we're harmonizing and, you know, for a while we had an upright bass and I love it. I do best when I collaborate. I'm not like a girl that's like, you know, flag on a hill, it's my way or the highway. I've never been that way. I think I do a lot better when I collaborate. And so I'll always do that in some way, shape, or form. But this time it's as a solo artist.
28-date solo headlining tour starting February 25th in Phoenix. It'll wrap up in Nashville. You're doing two nights at 3rd and Lindsley.
Yeah.
I wanted to come to your release show, and I felt so bad.
Because
I was like, I'm coming. And then I didn't get back in time.
You're totally fine. It was so fun. It was at the OG basement.
Tell me how fun it was. Tell me it was
crappy. Never mind. It was terrible.
Tell me the sound didn't work.
Sound was awful. It was great. I'm sorry. It was so much fun. And it felt so good to be back down there. And industry friends and, like, you know, it just felt right. This season just feels... I've been through some really, really tough seasons, Bobby, like in the last few years. And it feels so damn good to be in a season where things feel again like they're resonating, and where I feel more grounded in myself. That feels really good. So regardless of what happens, I am pleased that the music seems to be connecting, but I'm just enjoying myself.
It connects with me. I told you. Good. I listen to this stuff all the time.
Thank you.
All the time.
Thank you.
And I won't... I think someone sent me, hey, here's the... I wouldn't listen to the whole record.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I cheated... I don't listen to new music from people ever. Even my favorite artists, I won't. Because I feel like that's cheating my people.
Ah.
And I don't want to ever be cooler than they are. And I don't want to be like, oh, I've already heard it. Wait till you hear it.
Except that you already saw the music video. So
that's different.
That?
The reason I was able to cheat on that is...
Yeah, how? Wait, talk to me about your justification, because I'm loving hearing this.
Because I could see it.
What does that have to do with anything?
It was a music video. I'd watch a movie screener before I would watch a movie. I don't care about that.
Okay, true. Same. Okay.
So,
all right.
I get movie screeners all the time. I don't feel like I'm cooler than anybody else.
Yeah.
The music video was like, hey, check this out.
That's so funny.
And I was like, should I mute it and watch it? I didn't. I didn't mute it. I did feel like I was cheating.
Bobby, I like these quirks. I like that I'm figuring some
of
these quirks.
I'm all quirks.
Out. Aren't we all? I think we all are.
I'm all quirks.
I totally get that. The other day I was like, where's the lid to this pen? Where's the lid to this pen? And I'm like, oh, I'm a little bit crazy.
Do you know what has made my life better? This massive Sharpie that I have. Because I check, I'm big on lists. Yeah. I'm OCD about lists. I have lists. I check everything off. I can't walk it. Mike is my head writer on the show. So he writes a lot of the games and a lot of the stories that I talk about. He has them already.
Yeah.
And I have this thing that I check off, and about halfway through the show, I give him everything I've checked off. He has to give me a whole new list of things I haven't checked off. And he got me this big Sharpie. Let's enjoy. I can mark off and hold him with one
like
Sharpie
a whole
stroke.
Oh,
it's
my word.
The greatest thing. I love it so much.
Are you endorsed by Sharpie? Because this should happen.
No, I'm not. I'm not, but I am endorsed by the General Insurance.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Ka-ching.
Right. TheGeneral.com. That's right. They're not even an advertiser on this.
That's amazing. What's on the top of your list right now?
On what? What to do?
Yeah.
Oh, every day, I make a list of things to talk about on the show. Oh,
okay.
And so, you know, we start at 5 a.m. And so I have what I want to do. My show doesn't see my page. No one on my show.
No one on your show does.
Only,
oh, that's just
Mike
you.
Mike is the only one that sees it.
Mike, you're the keeper.
And also the helper. I'd never allowed any... I'm kind of a control freak because I never depended
you
on anyone
say.
Else. I know. I finally let someone in a little bit.
Hey, good
so
job.
Mike does it with me now.
Yeah.
And so no one sees it. And so every day it's like a different thing.
Do you have lists for like taking care of, like things you need to take care of?
Everything.
Like
on my computer
do.
All the time. If I'm packing, I make a list of things I got to make sure to put in my suitcase, and then I take it and erase it.
Were you like that as a kid?
I think I had to find ways to be efficient.
Yeah.
And get things done.
Yep. Yep, yep.
So probably mm-hmm. in different ways.
I get that.
So, but yeah, my point is we're all just quirks.
Dude, for days. For days. I get it. I totally get it.
Mike, how long have we been talking?
An hour 10?
Is that funny to you?
I love it.
That's funny. Sometimes I'll shut these things down like 30 minutes.
Well, I get it. I've been there. That's like you have a lot of first dates. You know what I mean? With people.
Yeah.
That it's like you know pretty quickly if you're like, oh, no, I'll just have a salad. Like, can I get the side salad, please? And no, I don't want coffee at the end of this. I'm good. I got somewhere to go. I totally get it.
I have a lot of first dates up here because it's a lot. It's like someone coming into my house every time, too.
No, I get that.
But I don't have a lot of first dates in life. Like, I have more... Work first date.
I'm
like
sorry,
10
Bobby,
to 1 20
Bobby,
to 1 20
to
20
1
to 1
that's,
yeah.
you gotta mix up that ratio
right? Yeah, the ratio's terrible.
You gotta mix up that ratio, and but you have to slow down if you're gonna meet
but
somebody.
But I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know how to meet anybody now.
What like, do you mean there's like 8 million ways to meet people?
I'm not really
well
not really.
I mean, you can meet people, but it just depends what kind of quality interaction you want.
I'm not trying to. Yeah.
Yeah, you're past like this swipe and all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm not better than it.
No, I don't think you're saying that. I just think I hear you saying, I don't really want to do that.
And I don't trust people anymore.
Anybody?
Yeah, Groucho Marx used to say, I don't want to be in a club that would have me.
Yep, totally.
And it's like, I don't want to date anyone that wants to date me.
Well, then therein lies your quandary, dude.
Never ending.
Oh,
yes.
Bobby, and you need a hug, dude.
I do need a hug.
You need a hug.
And I'll end with this story before I finish on your story. When I was a kid, and this is not a wah-wah story, but this is just a quick overview at how my life is different but the same.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I would, like, when church would drop me off, I would never let them drop me off in front of my house because I was embarrassed of where I lived. Mm. I would never let anyone go to my house because I was embarrassed of where I lived at all. No one. You couldn't see it because I didn't want people to see, you know, how poor I was. Yeah. And so I would have them drop me off a block away, three blocks away. And I would lie about where I lived all the time.
Yeah.
The same thing, just different, because I do well now. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone to see where I live.
Except that we're all coming to your house.
Well, this is work. Work is completely separate.
Ah.
But I don't want anyone coming to my house, like, personally.
Like, just like a chill day.
I don't want them to judge in any way. It's the same feeling. Because I don't want them to go, oh, he's got a nice house. I should probably want to like him the same way I don't want him to be like, oh, he's got a terrible house. I should not like him.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Feels exactly the same. Like, it gives me this, like, nauseous feeling.
This is so, I appreciate you being this honest and open with me. This is, it's really fascinating. Mm. It's like, you feel really self-conscious.
Completely.
Yeah.
And the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just different circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, full 180.
Yeah. Well, it's like full circle, though. Yeah.
Time 360. Like 180 yeah. on the circumstances.
Yeah.
But 360 on the feeling. Back all the way around. So nobody.
180 on the circumstance, 360 on the feeling.
Don't steal that for a song. If you write it, that's on your next record.
We'll just have to write it together. That's what we'll do. We'll write it together.
Let me say this. The record is called Front Porch, and it is not out yet, as she scolded me at the first of this podcast.
Hopefully, just gently scolded.
I was talking about the song, but the record comes out, and there are so many dates.
Yeah.
Are all the dates up at Joy Williams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, they are. They're all available. Tickets. A lot of them are selling out, which just feels great because the record's not even out yet.
Yeah, how about that, right? Like, isn't it a thing when people want to come to a show? Like,
it's crazy.
You get nervous?
I just feel grateful. That's what I feel like. I literally sometimes will say, I can't believe you guys are here. And that's how I feel every night. I'm like, I can't believe you showed up.
I feel the same freaking way.
I know.
I do stand up and there'll be 3,000 people or 2,000 people in the theater.
Okay, so now you're rubbing it in.
No, 1,000, okay, 10 people. It doesn't matter. And I will be like, I can't believe you guys would pay money to watch me do this.
I know, but what a gift. It's so fun. I love singing. I love when people show up. It's so much fun. And I just feel like we're literally just hanging out on, you know, on a front porch, I guess. Or I say sometimes in the living room, it just feels like we're all in it together. I love that feeling.
I'm going to come.
Yeah, you are.
I wanted
to
come already. I never go to anybody's. I'm so sad I missed it. Okay, let me do the money stuff here. The album Front Porch comes out May 3rd. If it's after May 3rd, it is out for you now. You should stream it, download it. You should go watch a show. It's been, almost 4 years since Venus? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Is it that long?
A little, yeah, give or take.
About 4 years?
Give or take, yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
huh?
It's been a few
years. It's
like
a different life.
Yeah.
Wow. Headlining tour starts February 25th in Phoenix, and then she's all over the place. Well, let me say, this has been a real treat for me. I rarely get to pull on people that I'm a genuine fan of. Most of the time, people come in and I'm like, hey, you're pretty good at what you do. Let's talk about it. But,
hey, thank you.
Yeah, it was good. Joy Williams, at Joy Williams. Anything you'd like to say? You took a breath. I thought I was interrupting.
No, I was just saying. I was just going to say it's really fun hanging out with you. Thanks for letting me bombard your casa.
All right. And you cursed.
I did.
I let you curse.
Several times. Preacher's daughter that cusses. Preacher's daughter. Yeah. Right. Living on the edge.
At Joy Williams, record Front Porch. Check out Front Porch song. The video will be out sometime soon. Let me tell you, it is a freaking awesome video.
Hey, yo.
When you see it. I'll go ahead and post it on my account tonight. I have it.
Right. Don't you dare.
Episode 154 of Joy. Thank you. All
right, thanks, Bobby.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.